to John chapter 4, a very familiar passage, but I hope I'm going to bring something out today that maybe nobody's ever noticed. Maybe you have. I believe God wants to talk to us. John 4 and 35. Kind of funny, my wife and I will find ourselves on Sunday night sitting here in the church, and we'll sit in the sanctuary, and we'll just sit, and we'll just sit. It's like almost like we don't want to leave. My expectation has never been higher. To be honest, my faith has never been higher. I'm just believing God. Now, I wish there was more here tonight. I'm a little disappointed this evening when I walked in. I know where some are, and I know there are some situations and why some aren't here. But I'm telling you, there is a work that's being done. That's say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Open your eyes. Look around you. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I just want to talk to us for just a little bit on this subject. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Jesus, God, I need your help here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, as I preach your word. I ask, Lord Jesus, that God, you would quicken my thoughts, quicken my mind. God, while my mind and my body may physically be tired, God, your spirit is so strong. And God, I know what I feel and I know what you desire. And God, I know, Lord, what you want me to say here tonight. And so I ask, Lord, that you would help me. Let it not be just about a sermon. And God, let it be about, Lord, what your heartbeat is and what you're desiring and, Lord, what you're wanting for us. Help us all, Lord, to lift up our eyes, to look onto the harvest and to recognize about us right now that you have prepared a harvest. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would do something about it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I was saying, I've never seen it more. I've never seen it any easier to be able to just walk up to people. Most of you know me, and you've heard me say how intimidated I am to be around, you know, to go up to strangers and to go up to people and just talk to them. And I don't typically do that. That's just not in my nature. It's not in what I do. But I don't know what has happened, to be honest. Maybe it's this getting bold in my old age thing. I'm not sure. But something has happened, and something has clicked, and something has switched. That I'm finding myself able to do some things that I was never able to do before. If you would go with us, I think it's been, when did we start that, Brother Michael? Was it the week before, the Saturday before VBS even started. And we haven't missed a Saturday yet. That we have gone out at some point and talked to people. I will give some credit to Brother Michael because he taught me some things. I watched how he would talk to people and how he would just approach people. And I also watched how they received what he said. And over the last couple weeks, I've been able to do something I've never been able to do before. If you would watch us drive that bus on Saturday, and I'm not the driver, I just sit in the front seat. And I wait, and we will drive down the road. And as soon as we see a group of people out, or just a few people out, I'll tell the bus driver, stop right here. And I will grab some cards. I might grab some cookies. And I will jump out of the bus and go walking straight up to them and start talking. I've never been able to do that before. Oh, Norland. He would be glad to hear that right now. If someday I was only half the man he was, I would be all right. Maybe somebody's been praying for me. That's a very key point, because something has transferred. Something has happened that... And I've watched a little boy, I don't know if you saw him today, came up to the altar at the birthday march. It was his birthday today. His parents actually tried to say, do you really want to go? It's your birthday today. He goes, no, I want to go. We literally stopped the bus. I ran behind the bus, went across the street, walked up to the family, started talking to him. The dad says to me, he goes, we haven't been able to go to church because we've never had a ride before. I said, well, now you have a ride. And I began to talk to the mom. I began to talk to the kids. They didn't all come today, but soon they will. They had a birthday party to plan. It was that young boy's birthday. But he said, I want to be at church today. He's actually been wanting to go to church, but has not known how to get there. If we hadn't jumped off the bus that day and walked up to him, he would still be wanting to go to church somewhere. The harvest is ready. I don't know how much you've noticed, but if you've met Sister, if you've met Tammy, Michael had seen her around for months. And he teased her and they talked back and forth, just different places here and there. And he didn't even know her name. They just talked. But it was about 4 weeks ago. We were driving the bus. Michael opened the doors and he yelled out. The kids came running up and he looked at her and said, what are you doing tomorrow? She couldn't give him an answer. He said, you're going to church with me. I'm not exaggerating. That's basically what he said. And the first week she came on the bus with him. Every week since, she's came herself. And she's brought people every time. Today, her daughter was here. Grandkids were here. She says next week she's wanting to get her son here. I'm just trying to tell you the harvest is ready. We pull in to that big apartment complex that's there. And we just park the bus. It's amazing how the Lord, the Bible says, pray ye therefore to send laborers. And God's doing that. Michael has his style, the way he does things. This week, we took Alonzo with us. You guys know Alonzo. He sits in the back corner. Alonzo has a different style. If you know Alonzo, he's a salesman. He actually enjoys going door to door. God bless him. I don't do that. That is not me. He loves it. He'll sell you anything. Just talk to him a minute. Matter of fact, if you want something he's selling, you ought to buy it off of him. Anyway, he said, you know, he says, I go into these places all the time. I've gone through these apartment buildings a bunch of times. I've sold different things here. These people know me because I go in here and sell. I said, how do you get in there? I said, because the doors are locked and somebody has to buzz you in. He said, oh, that's easy. He says, I just go along and press every single button until somebody opens the door. And then I go in and I knock on every door. Let me tell you what he did yesterday. We parked the bus. Nobody was there. Once again, we pull in there. We pull into this playground. We let the kids go play. We just parked and waited. Sounds like that's pretty easy, right? After a while, a couple kids came. Actually, we did pick up a couple kids and take them with us that we've been contacting every time we've gone in there, and they're familiar with us. And so we rode with them back. We drove them back to the playground area, and they play, and all the kids get to playing, and we're just sitting there talking, and Alonzo is telling us about it and how he does it. I said, well, go do it. He said, all right, let's go. He grabs the stuff, goes to the first apartment, and disappears. Next thing you know, out comes a lady with six kids. They weren't all, they were, she was watching some other kids and all this. And she says, I heard that you guys are down here, and I just wanted to come meet you and you know, find out more about you. So she comes down. We start talking to her. She says, well, I don't know if they'll be able to come this week because of school and all of the different things like that, getting ready to start on Monday. She says, but I've been looking for a church that I can send my kids. I said, you're allowed to come too. And so we just stood there and talked to them. Talked to the kids. For long, here comes some more. Here comes some more. He hit about 2, 3.5 of those buildings. Next week, he's going to go back and hit some more. His goal is to hit every single door in there and hit every single building. He simply has, he's come up with his own spiel on what he says when he gets there and how he talks to them. And he directs them to where we are at the bus, and there we talk to them. I don't know how many remember a lady by the name of Shanine. She came and she's come every year for VBS for the last 4 years. She has come every single year. And every year she brings her kids. And every year she stays with her kids the whole day. I think this was the first year that she actually let the kids actually stay here. But she would stay with her kids and go through. And then she'd typically come on that Sunday. And then when she came out, she started talking to her. Matter of fact, Irma talked to her for probably 30, 45 minutes, talked to her friend. She went and called her friend, told her friend, hey, come over here. Her friend came over. They stood around and talked. I'm telling you, the harvest is ready. I did find some apostolics in there. The first time I found them. Got to talk. I said, we're going to come visit your church. I said, no. I said, you have the truth. I'm not stealing you from somebody else's church, because that's not what I'm about to do. He said, you have your church, but I'm glad to know you're here so you can pray with us. So you can pray for this area and pray what's going on. They came down. Before long, I mean, the harvest is ready. Those young men that I brought to church today, that was simply moving Olivia out. Moving her from there. They had just moved in. They literally had just moved in from India. They've only been here for 2 weeks. They literally, it was their first week at that point. Had we picked up Olivia at any other point in time, we would have missed those kids. Tell me God doesn't have a plan. We go there. I was supposed to help load the van and load the truck and get Olivia's stuff. I didn't lift a finger. I stayed and talked to those young men for 30 to 45 minutes. I found it, and actually the one had gone. I was looking for my card. I knew I had cards. I couldn't find it, of course, when I was going to look for it. And I found my card, told one of the guys, and I said, hey, can you get and his name was Shree. I said, can you get Shree and send him out here? And he came out and he says, oh, good, I was hoping you were going to give me a card. Before long, his friend Chetty, who didn't come this morning, told me after I dropped them off, he says, I was just a little bit tired today. He asked me for a card. By the end of the conversation, they were coming to church. I did not know. I was expecting a phone call on Saturday. I didn't get one. So I said, you know what? We've got the bus. We're already out. If I drive in my personal vehicle, it may seem kind of weird. I said, let's go. We drove the bus over there. Here, come to find out, they were planning on riding their bikes here from there. Last night, we talked to them for at least 45 minutes, an hour. They are inviting us back for dinner. Not only did I meet, we saw four of them today. There's actually eight of them there in that building. And there's another 8 to 10 probably in the other building beside that I've yet to meet. Brand new, just coming into the United States. This week, they're having a kind of a celebration party that they're just now entering. And they did say something about inviting us. We'll see. But I've told them, I said, you know what? Next week, I got an idea. I said, how about if I take you to a market? I said, how about if I take you to the flea market? I know that's not church. But I've got new friends. During our course, our time together, they asked me, one of them asked me, do you teach Bible studies? What do you think my answer was? Nah. You just got to come to church. I said, of course I teach Bible studies. I said, I would come to your home. I'd come sit around, and I would teach you all right here on a time that's convenient for you. I said, I know you're college students, and I know you'll probably have busy schedules. I said, so I would come at a time that's convenient for you. Do I have to say it again? The harvest is ready. I want to talk to us about this for just a minute. Because Proverbs 6 and verse 6 says this, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. He says, look at the ant and consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little slumber, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands. So shall thy poverty come as one traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The scriptures, and don't worry, I'm not coming here to tell us we're being lazy. That's not at all anywhere in my thought process tonight. What I'm wanting us to understand and to see, what God was trying to tell us in the Word when He says, look to the ant. He said, the ant knows when to gather. He says he gathers at the harvest. He said the time to sleep is not at harvest time. The time to be resting is not at harvest time. The time to be folding the hands is not at harvest time. At harvest time, it's time to go pick. At harvest time, it's time to pull up. How many people have some gardens in the natural already that you've been pulling fruit from? Loads of it until my zucchini plant died. But I want to talk to you about this for a minute, because this year I had an abundance for a moment of yellow squash. I had tons of it. But let me tell you what took place. The harvest was ready. But when I went to pick it up, worms had climbed up in, and I started seeing holes. Why? And I felt as though God was pricking my heart. That we cannot allow the enemy to steal or ruin our harvest. We cannot allow him to take it and ruin it and rob it. The canker worm and the palmer worm. He said, I'm going to restore the years that they've stolen, that they've taken, that they've robbed. I'm here to tell you there's a harvest that is ripe, and I don't want to see it go to waste. I don't want to see it go and begin rotten and get ruined simply because we weren't out picking the fruit. I made a statement this week. I sent it in a text to a few people. And I said this: it's easy to find fruit when it's harvest time. When it's harvest time, you don't have to hunt for it. When it's harvest time, you simply gotta go and pick it. See, when you go when it's not harvest time, you've got to look. And things aren't ready. And it seems like nothing's happening. And it seems like it's this. Why God isn't anything happening? Why God does it seem like everything I'm trying, we're trying to get on nothing? It's because it's not harvest time. But when it's harvest time, you don't have to look very far. You simply walk out and you grab it. You simply walk out. I send Jared out every single day and I say, Jared, go pick. He'll find peppers and he'll find tomatoes and he'll find cucumbers. Why? Because it's harvest time. It doesn't take him long. He's there and back in just a few minutes. It doesn't take him very long, but early in the season, there was no fruit ready. There was no fruit ripe. It was hard to find it because it wasn't ready. And I want you to notice what the scripture says. The ant gathereth her food in the harvest. The ant knows when it's time. And the Bible tells us, go to the ant. Consider her ways. What she's doing, do it. Model it. Go after it. In other words, if the harvest is ripe, then you better get out there and pick it. Because a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of hands, and poverty comes. Why? Because the harvest was missed. I'm going to read you a passage in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. If you understand this area, you will understand that this was the area of Galilee. This was the area in which Jesus began and where Jesus chose 11 of his 12 apostles was from this area. He says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as was in her vexation when the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did he grievously afflict her by the way of sea beyond Jordan in the Galilee of the nations. And then he says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath light shined. Yes, they've been afflicted. Yes, they've been in trouble. But a light is going to shine in this land of Naphtali, in this land of Zebulun, in this Galilee of nations, which if you will find, this was actually called by the Jews the Galilee of Gentiles. But this was where Jesus went and found his 11 of his 12. The only one that wasn't from there was from Judas. He was the only one not from Galilee. He said the people there walked in darkness, but they have seen a great. This was a prophecy that Jesus Christ was going to step into this land. He was going to do miracles. He was going to show them. But I want you to notice verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according, I want you to notice, to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. He says, I'm going to multiply the nation. But that's not what is going to increase the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of the harvest. How many understand today that there is a joy in the harvest? That joy comes in the harvest. Nothing will make you feel any better than when somebody you've been talking to and praying for and reaching to comes through these doors and bows their knee in an altar and repents of their sins. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices. The joy comes from the harvest. So in Mark chapter 4, you know, I could talk for a minute. I was teaching this week on the life of Andrew. And some of you, remember that when I taught, when I did the book of Acts, and I went through the series, the book of Acts, and I talked about Andrew. Something struck me with Andrew. Because Andrew, when he found Jesus, Andrew said, I can't go alone. I want you to notice this. Oh, I'm going to prick our hearts here for a second. Andrew, when John the Baptist said, this is he, it was Andrew, one of the disciples, was the first one to recognize who he was. And so Andrew starts to follow him, and Jesus says, come and see. But Andrew could not follow Jesus until he first did one thing. Do you know what he did? Andrew went and found Peter. This was before Andrew was ever an apostle. This is what struck me. This is what hit me. Why is it that we feel so comfortable following Jesus when we're not finding somebody else to follow with us? Andrew said, I can't follow Jesus until I find somebody else to come with me. It began to prick my heart, began to stir me. I followed Jesus, and I followed Jesus, and I followed Jesus, and I followed Jesus, and I followed Jesus, but I haven't found anybody to follow with me. Andrew said, I can't even go until I find Peter, until I first get somebody to go with me. I made a challenge to that class that day that before the week was out, that they were supposed to find someone that they could take with them to the house of the Lord, to go out and find somebody, to not go to Jesus empty-handed. Because if you know what Jesus' calling was, it was simply make fishers of men. He says, I want to make you fishers of men. In other words, I want you to bring people about his business. What's Jesus' business? Jesus' business is seek and save that which was lost. So what should be our business? To seek and to save that which was lost. Our business should be his business. And when we make his business our business, he blesses it. I tell you, the quickest way to the blessings of God, make his business my business. All right, let me move on. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man, Mark 4:26, if a man should cast a seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. I want you to notice that. Remember what I talked about? God, when he created the earth, said, earth, bring forth. Jesus said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Watch. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately, he putteth in the sickle. Why? Because the harvest is come. He doesn't wait. He doesn't allow it to just sit there. It was a few years ago. We decided to try to plant some corn around our house. The problem was we had never planted corn before and really didn't know anything about it. And the corn grew. How's it go? The first blade... Then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. It grew. Then the ear. And then the corn in the ear. And we let it sit. And we let it sit. And we let it sit. And guess what we found when we opened the corn? Worms. For whatever reason, there's abundance of worms around our house. I'm hitting something. When the harvest is ready, immediately, everybody say immediately, the sickle needs to be put forth. Immediately, the harvest needs reaped. Immediately. It's time to gather the harvest. Why do you think Jesus said, pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into Because I'm here to tell you that all through this area is harvest that is ready. It's harvest that is ripe. It's fruit that is sitting there. And you don't have to look far. You don't have to go far. You don't even have to try that hard. All you've got to do is be willing to go pick it. I want you to notice a passage that I'm going to read here in Matthew. This passage is located in a few different places, which stands to reason to me that these words were spoken at multiple different times, and it was recorded by different writers at different intervals, at different times. In Matthew chapter 9, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into." I want to look at something real quick. Sorry. Pray ye therefore, laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus looks on the multitude. Jesus begins to scan around. Jesus begins to see, and something struck him. Compassion came over him, and he began to feel. Here was a group of people who were walking around blind, who were walking around without a shepherd, who were walking around not knowing what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to live and how. Let me tell you what Jesus saw. The same thing he's going to see if he looks out here right now. He's going to see people who are walking around blind, who are walking around without a shepherd, who are walking around not knowing what to do, where to go, how to fix their issues. But you know what he saw? He said, there's a harvest, and it's ready. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus at another point said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This was right after he tried to invite those, and they said, well, let me go back and let me do this, and I've got to do this. And they began to make excuses, and he said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Then watch, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to notice what he was doing. Jesus was sending. The first time this is mentioned, he looks out and he sees a city that's lost. He sees a city that's in trouble. The next time we see this passage mentioned, he is appointing 70 to go out. And he says, I want you to go. And I want you to go to by two, and everywhere you go, I want you to begin to reap. Why? Because the harvest is truly great. The harvest, what he was saying, is ready.
And then in John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest." What is he saying? The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. And then he says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Where was he when he spoke this? I'll tell you where he was. He was in Samaria. He had just gotten done talking to the Samaritan woman, the one the Jews said, "We don't want no business with." The one the Jews said, we don't want to deal with them. The one the Jews said, "They're not like us. We don't want to be around them." And Jesus was standing in the midst of Samaria, and he says, "I want you to look. The harvest is ready." We find three accounts and three places where Jesus said, "The harvest is ready." And it wasn't at the same place. It was at different points, at different intervals, at different times. And he's saying, "The harvest is ready." And he wants us to get out and pick it. Why do I feel such a passion right now? Why do I feel such a burden? I'm going to tell us. We've been praying for years. We've had lots of prayer going forth, and there's lots of prayer taking place. We've seen a few things here, we've seen a few things there, and we've seen God do some cool stuff. And some point, my dream for this church is to actually see every single person here at the same time in a service. Just once in my lifetime. That's all I ask. I joke with my wife. I said, "I feel like I have a rotating church. I could preach the same message 4 times in a row, and I would preach to a different congregation each time." Not none of you, mind you. You're here every week. Do I get discouraged about that? No, because I know something. God's working. They're coming. They're learning. Every time they show up, a seed is being planted, and things are being imparted in them. And there's some that are coming from a long way that are dealing with a lot of different things and a lot of different stuff. And you know what they need more than anything? Not us to look down on them. "Why haven't you been here? And why aren't you coming? And where have you been?" And all this. No, you know what they need to know? "I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you've come. I'm so glad that you're a part of us." Why do I say every week? Why is it that I say, shake somebody's hand and let them know you're glad they're here? Do you know why I say that? Because I want every single person that ever walks through these doors to know we're glad to see them. I don't care if they haven't been here for months. I don't care if they've missed a week here and missed a week there and missed this time and missed that time. That doesn't matter. What matters is they're here now. And if they're here now, God has an opportunity to touch their life. We've prayed. And we've prayed. And we've prayed. But something began stirring in my heart and stirring in my spirit. And there are times that I believe God deals with me. Sometimes it's not friendly. Sometimes he says, "Joe, you preach things. Why don't you do it?" And I will be very honest. How many remember I made the statement some time ago that we were going to do outreach this year, but we were going to do it different? Then the years passed, you know, we've sent out all kinds of postcards and we've done all. And I've been waiting for God. It's like, okay, God, when are you going to show me what this is going to be. I felt like I was supposed to say that. I felt like that's what we were supposed to do. When are you going to show me that this is how we're supposed to do it and this is what we're supposed to do? Because up to this point, I haven't found it. And it was about 6 weeks ago that I believe I found it. And I said, it began to hit me. We're into July. We've really got only till October, possibly early November, but the way winters are around here and the way this year's been, who knows, it may snow in October. To really get out and do something. That means we only have... Right? We are. It is. That's exactly what we've been called to do. We have all been called to do that in some way, in some measure. I know not everybody, and it's kind of funny. Alonzo said he come up with, someone gave him a term one time, called him a ground pounder. Because he went knocking doors. He said, I want to be a ground pounder for the church. I'm like, cool. I'll get you a t-shirt. Look, I don't care. And it struck me. I've only got a short time. And this year is lost. And this year is over. The way time is flying by so rapidly that if I don't move now and if I keep waiting, and I'm going to tell you, we weren't totally prepared when we got started. We're grabbing anything and everything we can. I don't have some fancy flyer that we're going out passing out. I don't. I've got some leftover magnets. I've got some business cards. We'll pick up a few snacks here and there to hand out to some kids. It ain't anything fancy. I don't have some fancy agenda. But what we're doing is just going out. You know what we're doing? We're going out into the field. And we're just looking around for the harvest. Exactly what I've sent Jared out to do every single day. And I say, Jared, go out into the gardens and look and see what's ripe. And what I found is it's easy to find ripe fruit when it's harvest time. And we scan and we look and we watch. And, oh, there it is. And we'll walk, jump out of a bus, stop and talk. People will walk up to us and approach us. Why? Because the harvest is ready. You may be asking, I don't know what part I can play in this. Well, the scriptures say, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white. They're ready. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he sends forth laborers. You might not be able to go. And don't make me, I don't want you to feel as though I'm making anyone feel guilty, because you're not. Because that's not my intent. I am trying to encourage us that the harvest is ready. And each one of us have different fields. Each one of us have different places. Each one of us have different harvests. But what we need to do is lift up our eyes and begin to look. Maybe you can't go, but you can pray. You can cover in prayer and cover in prayer and cover in prayer and cover in prayer. Because let me tell you, a harvest is a combined effort. I do not believe just getting them to come on a Sunday is harvest. That's the initial stages. But ain't until I've canned them. Yes, their mom was here today for the first time.
Okay.
I'm fully expecting every week more and more and more and more and more to be coming. I'm fully expecting that. What I'm praying is that the ones who normally come keep coming. Yeah, right. And that is the next phase. That we make it a point to let them know that I'm not just wanting to bring your kids, I want you to come too. We'll be glad to pick you up. We'll be glad to bring you. Will there be problems? Will there be struggles? Will there be things arise that we have to deal with? Yep. Yep. But when you have a harvest, you have work. When you reap a harvest, it takes work. There's going to be a lot of people. They need love. They need care. They're coming out of a lot of different things and a lot of different struggles. And the one thing they need to know is there's a church here that cares about them. Standing out there in the foyer before I left today. Lady came up and said, would you pray for me? They had already prayed at the altar for some time. They wanted me to pray for them before they left, that God would help them. What do you think I said? Nah. Only can get that here at the altar. Absolutely not. I said, I'll lay my hands on you right now. I said, do you mind if I put my hands on your head? And I prayed for him. We have a challenge. We have a job in front of us. Brother Anderson asked me, knew that I was teaching PI, and he knew that my voice would be more than likely shot. And so he asked me if I was needing to get somebody else and so that I could make sure they had a little advance notice. And I said, nope, I've got this one. Because I felt compelled. I felt compelled to talk to us today that the harvest is ready. It's not time to wait. It's not time to just hang back, and there's not time to fold our hands. It's not time to sleep. It's time to get after it. We've got 2 months of harvest before us. And we need to take advantage of those 2 months. Just as it is in the natural, they're spiritual as well. And every year, I'm speaking to the church. I hope you guys are okay with this. I know this is not my normal style. I hope you're all right with this. Every year, coming into fall, we, for whatever reason, dip.
attendance drops off and people stop coming, and I don't know why. And it stays that way until about January. Come January, you said into February, things start to build back up, and we head into March, and you know, things are there, and we usually do pretty good through the summer, and then I'm not wanting to see that cycle this year. Be very honest. I don't want to see that cycle. I just want to see us continue. And I believe that the harvest is ready, and if we will reap that harvest, if we won't let it go to waste, we will see something in this church that we haven't seen in a long time. We're going to see something take place. Look, the prophecies are before us. It's been prophesied and prophesied and prophesied and dreamed and all that. It's all before us. It's time to seize that. It's time to grab a hold of that. And it's time to take God on his promises. The harvest is ready. Let's all stand. Wife and I was talking again, believe it or not, we talk every now and then, and we both recognize that if we wanted, we could do more than just Sunday morning, and we could get kids and people here on Wednesdays. But we've recognized that we don't quite have the staff to make that work. Because I don't want to overload, and I don't want to cause issues, and so I want you to pray with me as well that God would open that door. I tell you, my heart is full. Watching these classrooms filling up. Watching these teachers wonder how they're going to fit everybody in, where they're going to find enough chairs, how they're going to make it all work. Those are all good problems to have. It's better than what we had to do a few years ago when we said, you know what, we need to just shut down a class and combine some together because we only had one or two in each one. Now we're finding we've got more kids, and those are good problems. There's a lot to pray about. There's a lot to seek God about. But we cannot ever lose sight of the harvest. Because I know that if we ever stop being about God's business, this church will fall apart. If it just becomes a social club and it just becomes, we'll just come and just follow Jesus ourselves. We'll just have our own little holy huddle, and we'll have our own little clique and our own little group. I'm not coming against people who are close friends. It's great to have good friends in church. There's no better place to have good friends. But if we ever lose sight that it's about the lost, we failed as a church. I have failed as a pastor.
Because Jesus has commissioned us for that purpose. That is why we exist. That is our reason for being here. It is solely to get people to Him. That is why we're here. And if we're all going in that direction, it's amazing what God will do. We're believing Jeff's going to be here. We're believing it's going to happen. We're believing your whole family's going to be here. All the kids. I'll stop talking. I think it's time to pray. I think it's time to come and ask God to help us to open our eyes. He said, lift up your eyes, open your eyes. Begin to see that there is a harvest outside your door. There is a harvest outside. It is waiting to be picked. It is right there. Someone has to pick it. Someone has to be willing to harvest it. Someone has to say, I'm willing to do it. Let's come today. Tonight, let's pray. Let's pray. Maybe you can pray for this week coming up. Maybe you can pray that God would open a door for you yet this week. Maybe it's as simple as a Bible study. Maybe it's as simple as a little session of witnessing, a time of talking to someone, just sharing to them the love of God.